Welcome back to AEIOU, a podcast about Austria. This is Thames Darwin. In the previous episode, reference was made to two important aspects of life in the Holy Roman Empire around the year 1700. The first was the ongoing conflict with France under Louis XIV, which resulted in many wars. The second was the curious practice of the Habsburgs of intermarrying within their own family, giving rise to a high rate of inbreeding. One notable result of this inbreeding over the course of centuries was the so-called Habsburg jaw. Going back at least as far as Charles V, but probably longer, the Habsburg rulers had a tendency toward what doctors call prognathism, that is, to quote Wikipedia, a positional relationship of the mandible or maxilla to the skeletal base where either of the jaws protrudes beyond a predetermined imaginary line in the coronal plane of the skull. End quote. In layman's terms, these lines describe a lower jaw that juts out far past the upper jaw. This condition was common enough among the Habsburgs that it was literally named after them. And the emperor about whom we were last talking, Leopold I, was among the Habsburgs sporting this jaw. In 1661, Leopold's nephew Charles had acceded to the throne of Spain as Charles II. He too had the Habsburg jaw. However, this was the least of his deformities. If you've never seen a picture of Charles II, it behooves you to pause this podcast. Bring up Google Images on your computer or mobile device and have a look. I'll wait here. There, now you know what we're dealing with. Not only was Charles difficult to look at, but he also had congenital heart disease and a substantial learning disability. Although Charles was married, twice, in fact, first to a daughter of the Duke of Orleans and second to the daughter of the Elector of the Palatinate, it's fairly clear that neither marriage was ever consummated, nor was there any expectation that the king could father a healthy child. As a result, since Charles was the last of the male Habsburg line in Spain, the question of who would succeed him arose almost from the moment he took the throne. Several solutions to this problem were suggested. One involved dividing Spain between the Austrian Habsburgs and France, providing each with some of the country. Emperor Leopold, however, sought to preserve Spain for his family and suggested that his second oldest son, also named Charles, succeed Charles II as the next king of Spain. For his own part, Louis XIV, still king of France, suggested his own grandson Philip. Not only would one of Louis's grandchildren becoming king of Spain deny the throne to a Habsburg, but it would unite the crowns of France and Spain when Philip one day became king of France, as he was only second in line to that throne. Finally, within Spain itself, factions lined up supporting either Charles or Philip to be the king. The matter came to a head in the fall of 1700, when Charles II died at the ripe old age of 38. Louis wasted no time promoting his grandson, and Philip was proclaimed the king of Spain from Versailles just 2 weeks later. Louis still had the enemies he had made in the previous century, and they united to renew the grand alliance they had formed against him earlier. In the summer of 1701, war broke out again. On one side was Leopold's empire, fighting alongside Britain, the Netherlands, and Prussia. On the other side was France, which was supported by several German states, including Bavaria and Cologne. The war was a long and hard one. 4 years into it, Leopold died and was succeeded by his son Joseph I, who continued to fight to put his brother Charles on the throne. His short reign ended in 1711, when he died of smallpox. As a result, his brother Charles became emperor as Charles VI and fought on for the throne of Spain. When in 1715 peace was concluded and war ended, both France and the empire benefited. On the one hand, Louis's Bourbon dynasty had its claim to the throne of Spain validated, although part of the settlement required that the monarchs of Spain renounce any future claim to the French throne. On the other hand, although the Habsburgs lost the throne of Spain, they gained significant influence in Italy and reasserted direct rule in the Spanish Netherlands, which Spain had retained after the secession of the Dutch Protestants in the previous century. But Emperor Charles had his own succession problem. Although Charles's wife, Elizabeth Christina of Brunswick, had borne him a son in 1716, the son, named Leopold, had died just 6 months later. The couple's three surviving children were all daughters, the eldest of whom was Maria Theresa. The problem was that the Habsburg monarchy was ruled by the Salic Law, which stipulated that neither women nor the descendants of women could rule. Charles had anticipated the problem of lack of a male successor, however. 3 years before his son was born and died, he had issued the so-called Pragmatic Sanction. According to this document, Charles's eldest child, if a daughter, would upon his death inherit all of the Habsburg family's holdings, including not only Austria, Hungary, and Bohemia, but also Croatia, the Austrian Netherlands, and several territories in Italy. It was not difficult for Charles to issue the Pragmatic Sanction. The problem was that his late brother had two daughters who were both technically higher up in the line of succession than Maria Theresa was. Charles therefore sought the consent of the other powers in Europe to the Pragmatic Sanction, hoping that, if the other countries agreed to the sanction, Maria Theresa's cousins would not wage war against her. It took him a while, but ultimately, Charles won the consent of most of Europe. Different countries asked different things from him in return, whether territory or recognition of some claim or desire of their own. The greatest demand to which Charles conceded was to close the Ostend Company. If the Ostend Company doesn't sound familiar, that's because we haven't discussed it before. Almost everyone knows that the Atlantic powers in Europe, namely Britain, France, Spain, Portugal, and the Netherlands, launched colonial projects in both the Americas and in Asia during the so-called Age of Exploration. These projects had won enormous wealth for the countries in question. Since the Habsburgs controlled the part of the Netherlands that had remained loyal to Spain in its war with the Netherlands, they too now had an Atlantic port of Ostend, today in Belgium. In 1722, as he was pursuing continent-wide approval for the Pragmatic Sanction, Charles granted an imperial charter for colonial trade between Ostend and ports in contemporary India and China. Not surprisingly, he began to cut into the business already being conducted in that part of the world by the British and Dutch, who subsequently began pressuring Charles to rein in his activities. Ultimately, they withheld their approval of the Pragmatic Sanction until Charles relented, which he did, in 1731. Less than a decade into its charter, the Ostend Company was dissolved, although another abortive attempt was launched later in the 18th century. Austrian overseas imperialism pretty much ended here. The remainder of Charles's reign as Emperor and Archduke of Austria was consumed by more war. In his last engagement with the Ottomans, Charles lost most of his holdings in the Balkan. When he died from eating poisoned mushrooms a year after that war ended, Charles had left the empire in poor shape. The imperial treasury was down to a mere 100,000 florins, worth today about $5.2 million. This in an age when U.S. federal budgets are in the trillions of dollars, literally millions of dollars. Maria Theresa acceded to the throne of the Habsburg domains upon her father's death, but she did not take the throne of the Holy Roman Empire, which forbade any woman from ruling over it. Instead, the title went to Charles, the Prince Elector of Bavaria, who became Emperor Charles VII. He was a member of the Wittelsbach dynasty and thus the first non-Habsburg to occupy the imperial throne for 300 years. Although his wife Archduchess Maria Amalia of Austria was a Habsburg, Charles VII reigned for only 3 years until his death in 1745, after which he was succeeded by Duke Francis of Tuscany, Maria Theresa's husband and a member of the Lorraine dynasty. Their union gave rise to the House of Habsburg-Lorraine, the imperial house that would rule the Holy Roman Empire and the Archduchy of Austria until 1804. Because of her father's legacy, as leader of the Habsburg monarchy, Maria Theresa was going to have her work cut out for her. And that didn't count the war that she was going to have to fight to confirm her father's Pragmatic Sanction. You see, those cousins of Maria Theresa's, who were higher in the line of succession than she was, had married into the royal houses of Saxony and Bavaria. These two states, backed by Prussia, declared war on the Habsburg domains. The great powers backed their regular allies, France siding with Prussia, Bavaria, and Saxony, and the Netherlands and Britain backing Maria Theresa. The War of the Austrian Succession was another long and costly war that engulfed many of the powers in Europe. Nearly 8 years of war allowed several powers to try to chip away at Habsburg supremacy in Central Europe. In the end, the treaty signed at Aachen in 1748 confirmed Maria Theresa as the Habsburg ruler. The cost was Silesia, which the Habsburgs ceded to Prussia, parts of Bavaria, which were ceded back to that country's royal family, and several of the family's Italian holdings. Maria Theresa retained the Austrian Netherlands. The biggest change caused by the war was the shuffling of diplomatic alliances on the continent. The short version is that Austria and the UK broke their alliance, and Austria turned to an alliance with France. In turn, Prussia formed an alliance with the UK, breaking with France, which it had supported in Austria's succession war. Britain's gamble was that Prussia would be a more effective deterrent against France than the Habsburgs had been. In 1756, the Habsburgs signed the first Treaty of Versailles with France, each promising to aid the other if conflict emerged with a third party. In response, Frederick the Great invaded Saxony and started the Seven Years' War. Fought between 1756 and 1763, the Seven Years' War has been called the first global conflict. It is remembered primarily as a war fought partly in the colonies of the great powers. Since neither Austria nor Prussia had colonies, the result in Europe was status quo. During all this time, Maria Theresa occupied the Habsburg throne, while her husband ruled the empire until 2 years after the Seven Years' War ended, when their son Joseph would accede to the imperial throne as Joseph II and become co-ruler of the Habsburg monarchy with his mother. Next time, we'll talk about the transformation of the Habsburg monarchy under Maria Theresa and Joseph II. Thanks for listening.